I do. You know, my main thing also too is the double-sidedness. As far as like, you know, a lot of his supporters believe, you know, that he is totally against Israel and their foreign invention and foreign intervention, and also like against globalism. And you know, the sad thing is, actually, I have a couple of quotes right here. Let me get to this note. Two of these quotes right here. One is straight from his book, Liberty Defined. And he actually talks about, hold on, you're not going to believe that this is coming from the...
I want to hear this, because the ones I read mostly have come from his newsletter, I think. And, you know, people try and dispute that, but they came out in his name for 20 years, guys. Those are his words, okay? And I'm glad you have it from a book, too. That's good. I'm really glad to hear that.
Well, here's the thing, too, with those quotes. Whether they were his or not,
he let that go out that he approved of him.
So I mean, you know, whether or not, okay, all right, in his book Liberty Defined, he writes, Zionism as a movement has accomplished wonderful things for the Jewish people and Jewish faith. It inspired Jews the world over to recapture their language and to do so in a period of time that was nearly miraculous. In my opinion, I'm getting out of his quote for a second. In my opinion, Zionism has ruined Jewish people.
Yeah,
it has brainwashed them, and you know, don't get me wrong, and not all Jews. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, and is working on ruining you know, so many Christians now too. But also, hold on, now check this out. Here's another one. Unlike the president, I do not. Hold on. Israel is our close friend. While President Obama's demand that Israel make hard concessions in her border conflicts may very well be in her long-term interest, only Israel can make that determination on her own without pressure from the U.S. or coercion by the United Nations. Unlike this president, I do not believe it is our place to dictate how Israel runs her affairs. There can only be peace in the region if those sides work out their differences among one another. We should respect Israel's sovereignty and not try to dictate her policy from Washington. Hold on. Israel's sovereignty? Israel stole their sovereignty. It's a Rothschild country. How could he even pretend that that's not an issue? And then I have more Ron Paul on globalism. Hold on. Where is it? Okay.
The people that really bother me are the ones that, you know, that don't look into him at all and just, you know, chant his name like he's Superman because, you know, that's what they were told. It's absurd. This guy's made some real ignorant comments. I mean, really ignorant, like so ignorant that you could not imagine him sitting in the White House. How could he think like that? Guys, he really doesn't like black people. I'm sorry, he doesn't. And that's so, you know, 100 years ago, however long ago, where people were so warped and fought like that, he still thinks like that.
Yeah.
He talks down on immigrants, especially black people, and it's pretty disturbing to hear him talk like that.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. The whole thing is that either way, you know, the fact, hold on, I don't know where this globalism quote is, I'm trying to find it where he's talking about. It's also from one of his books as well. Hold on one second. I'm on the right page. I just got to find it.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, Truth War, you're a Canadian. You're on the outside looking in. What do you think about the way so many people that are supposedly, you know, in this alternative mind, you know, this alternative way of thinking or whatever, or awake or whatever you want to call it, how they just flock to this guy without even really knowing what he's all about?
Which guy was that again?
Ron Paul.
Oh, well, because he's like their only hope. Like, one thing that I say to people is you can't expect one person to change this whole thing. I mean, it's like this because, you know, they have control of everybody who's in office right now. They basically control all of them. Yeah. So, obviously, they're just letting this one guy have a voice, just like, who's that, that millionaire that ran against, I think the Bush Sr. and...
Ross Perot.
Ross Perot, you know, there's always one there that's the one hope for some of the at least semi-awake people to grasp onto. And to tell you the truth, I'm still thinking that he's, if they were to get into office, there would be some benefit. I don't know, you know, I think the reason they're letting him get as close as he is because he's so old. And if he were to have a heart attack, nobody would really bat an eye about it, you know. Yeah. So it's just, you know, somebody is disposable. But yeah, but it's a joke to think that one person is going to fix this. And that, yeah. You know, anybody that they put up for election is going to make any difference.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's the whole system that's got to go.
Yeah.
It's the whole system. And even we already know and we preach to everybody how much of a figurehead our president is and how much the people behind the scenes pull his strings. So how do we automatically just switch our mode of thinking into thinking that this other guy is going to have all this power to change everything, even if he wanted to? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I got a 9/11, his answer to 9/11 truth, if you want that.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, Ron Paul on 9/11 truth. Okay, he says it was ineptness and not an inside job. Okay, this is from Steve Gill. I've seen videotapes and listened to audio where you deny any willingness to embrace the 9/11 conspiracy stuff. A lot of your supporters do seem to embrace the whole 9/11 conspiracy that the towers are brought down by the Bush administration. Address that. Do you think the American government, the U.S. government, had anything to do with bringing those towers down, either directly or allowing it to happen? He says, I think indirectly out of ineptness rather than participating it, planning it or allowing it to happen. I see it's ineptness. That's why I think the investigations are always cover up the inefficiency of government. Steve Gill, in fact, you had folks in the 9/11 commission who made some of the decisions, and they were on the commission there to cover themselves up. Ron Paul. Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's why I don't trust the investigations. But, you know, the neocons were very explicit, even before 9/11, that it would be an advantage if they had a Pearl Harbor type of event where they could move the foreign policy along and use that as an excuse. That doesn't mean there's evidence that they planned it. There's not evidence?
Yeah,
come
there
on.
Is. It's
hold on.
What about the Century for New
call.
America?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't think you can go from one step to the other. But if certain events occur, they can make good use of it. And I think that's what they've done because there's tremendous evidence that there had been plans laid out for almost 10 years before that to go in and have regime change in Iraq. So, you know, you're saying it without saying it. It's like, you know, just, you're not, I don't know, I don't see how you can't just look at that as an American and say, you know, someone that obviously knows like him, somebody that, you know, just have the balls and say it. And you know, maybe in 6 months or something, you know, I'm telling you, he's growing more and more. He was the number one Google trend this past week. He's, yeah. You know, they fooled around with it now, and they've shown everybody else has had a chance to be the GOP front runner so far. So yeah. I guarantee you that by summertime, Ron Paul is the front runner. I guarantee you that he'll be going back and forth with Romney and maybe someone else, but it's going to be him, Romney, and maybe Kane or Perry, and the three of them are going to go. You know, and that's right now they're pretending Gingrich has a chance, but you know it doesn't matter. It's all propped up. It's all a game. And we know this, and he's playing the game. And you know, and even if he didn't say any of this stuff, even if he wasn't, you know, didn't have ties to the CNP, to the JBS, which now the JBS, let me add, has a known Jesuit, John McManus, is a member, also was founded by Robert Welch, a known Jesuit. Now, it's a Jesuit-controlled opposition organization. Now, they've said some good things in the past, but like anything else, you know, it's controlled opposition. There's really nothing, nothing good that can come out of it. Yes, they're against the United Nations and whatever, but still, you have people from the Vatican that are in your leadership. So, you know, it's either one or the other. What that is, that's the like we talked about, the Vatican and Zionist left right paradigm, where they're all together, but let's just pretend that we don't trust the bankers, but yet we trust the people they work for, type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust them as far as I could throw the old man.
Touchdown Giants. Yeah, no, I don't either. I really don't. And I used to. And then there was a time when I figured, okay, well, it's good just to get the publicity, maybe, you know, and whatnot. Yep. But it's to the point now where I don't know. I think that we already know the Federal Reserve is up next year on December 23rd. So what's going to happen when the Federal Reserve is up? Don't get me wrong. The Federal Reserve and any fractional reserve banking system needs to go. We cannot have that. We need to give the ability to print money back to the government and the Treasury. As shady as that sounds, we have to do it, but we need the right people in there. However, ending the Fed is not going to do that unless we're actually going to, you know, go and nationalize it and give it, you know, and give that ability to the government. And, you know, the gold standard is not going to work, which I've heard Ron Paul supporters throw around, because they have all the gold now. The Rothschilds have all the gold. Von Mises also, people throw around Mises. Well, Mises is another aristocratic Zionist family or a Zionist Bavarian family, you know, that is another like Ayn Randian type, which Ayn Rand also she supposedly wrote Atlas Shrugged with one of the Rothschilds, you know, which makes a lot of sense. So I mean, a lot of this stuff that they're pushing is not going to benefit anybody, and they're setting everybody up for it, you know, and I don't know what much more to say about it besides the fact that, guys, we know what psyops are. This is the biggest psyop ever being perpetrated on the American people. And, you know, luckily there's guys like us to call it out right now. And, you know, the only thing I hope out of it is no matter what happens with everything else, you know, it's pretty much inevitable that we're going to end up in the New World Order. But maybe he'll at least legalize weed and end the wars. I don't know about ending all the wars. I'm sure he'll have an excuse to keep those going. And I'm sure, you know, but I don't know. I just can't get behind somebody that's not 100% nowadays, because, you know, a guy that admires Freemasonry, his wife is an Eastern Star, you know, this is one of the organizations that this is built upon. You know, it's built upon the Masonic traditions and whatnot. And for his father to say, for him to say he admires it, you know, that just goes a little far to me. That, you know, just admit that you are one. Then, if he admitted he was a Freemason, I probably wouldn't give him so much trouble. But the fact that he's lying about it, yep. Why lie?
Yeah, the thing that bothers me the most is, you know, you have all these people that are supposed to be awake, and, you know, they all have been talking about how, you know, now they realize how the whole system is, you know, the whole election's a fraud, but now they're willing to buy back into all of that and support this guy. Why? Why, you know, everything you've learned about how the election's a fraud and how they control who they're going to put in there, why are you going to waste so much energy putting all this Ron Paul stuff all over the place and getting behind this guy? I thought you knew the election was fixed. I mean, why? And I don't get it. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense to me right away. I don't get that at all. And, you know, it's the same, like I said in the little thing I read, you know, the same people that know that the two-party system is what needs to go, and the same people that know that, you know, 9/11 was our government and not Osama bin Laden, okay, no matter how you think it was done, those same people are now going to throw all that aside and go vote for a guy that won't speak out on their behalf, even though most of his supporters are all about that, and also a guy that's a Republican. 80%. Yeah, that's what I said in the thing, too. 80% of the Ron Paul supporters are so-called 9/11 truthers, and they're going to go vote for this guy who won't even speak out on their behalf, and he's a Republican. You're going to go vote for a Republican after talking all that trash about Bush for the last 10 years? It's unbelievable to me. I mean, it's unfathomable.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine right now, Justin, you got off this radio show and you went down there and you registered as a Republican and checked Ron Paul just because you wanted to, you know, vote for Ron Paul. You became a Republican tonight.
It ain't
going
to happen.
All your morals. Imagine that, though. That's what some people are doing.
Oh, I know people, too, that are even going farther than that. That, you know, there are people that still believe in the system. They're actually Democrips, as I call them, Democrips and Republicans. Democrips that are going and going and registering. You know, that's how deep this is. And you know, they just have this. You know, some of them I can't blame them. Some of the not so aware ones I can't blame them. But the ones that are aware and know that everything is fixed. Do you think in 2012? We know that what connotations that 2012 has been. I'm not talking about Mayan end of the world stuff. I'm talking about the fact that this is when, you know, that they plan. Anybody that's looked into the occult and looked into it knows that all the stuff that they're doing is planned behind you know, the winter solstice of next year, right, which is right when, right after the election is going to take place, and he's going to be getting it. You know, so I mean. Who knows? I think it just doesn't matter either way, and that's the point that the whole thing is that all these people are willing to defriend people and to not talk to people anymore.
Yeah, that's just, what I mean. Insane. I don't have a problem if you think the election's fixed, maybe you're not really sure and you want to go vote anyways. That's fine. But you know, like I said, be educated about who you're voting for and really learn about these people, and don't just go vote for Ron Paul because you see him all over all these websites that you visit. People that say this guy gets blackballed by the media. Well, by the regular media, yeah, but that's all part of the plan, okay? And how much do you see him on the alternative media? I mean, Jesus Christ, he's being forced right down our throats. I mean, right, all you see is Ron Paul everywhere.
And not even alternative. Sorry to cut you off. Not even alternative, but talk about Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart, almost every other night, he's talking about Ron Paul and showing how he's ignored. You know, how many people watch Jon Stewart that are fence sitters? That's what they're going after here. They're not going after the hardcore, the hardcore neocons or the hardcore Democrats. They're going after the ones that are the fence sitters, and those are the ones that matter, because there's probably about 40% of the American people right now can be swayed in either direction, and that's the direction they're being swayed in because he's the only one who hasn't screwed them over yet.
And think about this. So then they have Ron Paul saying all these things that they like, okay? They're saying all these things that they like, so all these people, you know, they want to vote for him or whatever, right? And then, you know, they start to respect his opinion a lot, and what do you know? He doesn't come out for 9/11 truth, just like the status quo would want them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let these people think they're into all types of new information, but 9/11 was still these people over there, right?
Yep. And still the same ones that are going to be in power. You know, still the same ones, and unless, see, that's the thing, unless he comes out and at least drops a, you know, he doesn't even have to say 9/11, but if he just drops a name and calls these people, you know, calls a couple of them what they are, you know, says, hey, Bush is a globalist. I don't expect him to say anything else. Just say, hey, Bush and Clinton are globalists. Obama's a globalist. At least say that. He's not even saying that. He's just talking politics. You know, and that's the problem here. People need to know about globalism. They need to know about what's going on. That this is an agenda. This isn't just, you know, a couple of years of bad politics and we can forgive him. You know, this is an agenda. He knows it. We know it.
Yep.
The people need to know it.
Yep. I just think it's crazy how, as far as when you talk about people that are awake, it's almost like there's these different levels, and there's people, and God bless them, they just haven't had the time yet. There's these people that are awake, but they haven't really had the time to really scratch through too many of the layers. And a lot of things like Alex Jones, Ron Paul, just these things that you think they're giving you the truth, and this new thing, but they're really controlled. They're easily fooled by these things. That's what I'm trying to say. The people that aren't the real serious researchers usually have an easier time seeing through the fog and getting past these people. And that's why we're telling everybody else out there, because some of you people listening right now probably are big time, Ron Paul. And I'm not saying Ron Paul's the worst thing for this country. I'm not. You know, I'm not. I'm not saying he's any worse than any of the other guys out there. Okay? I'm really not. You know, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying don't change your morals, change your ways, buy back into the system that you preach to everybody else was a total fraud all over this guy that isn't what you think he is. You know, it's kind of aggravating to see that, right. To see people, you know, get so worked up about it. You know, they could be passing on all types of information, but they're passing on pictures of Ron Paul with a Superman cape and pictures of Ron Paul kissing babies. And it's like, you know, enough's enough, guys. Enough's enough, you know? In the end, guys, if you want to vote for him, whatever. He's just another politician. Go ahead, vote for him. I don't care. I'm sick of seeing it, though.
Yeah, go waste your fake vote for him, but do me a favor. Stop clogging my news feed with it, because I that's all I ever see. Ron Paul this, Ron Paul that, Ron, you know.
Yeah, everybody's status is talks about how great Ron is, and Ron's going to save. I'm like, are you serious? This guy's going to save the country? Even if he wanted to, what the hell is he going to be able to get accomplished? Nothing.
Yeah, it's a wrap. It is. We have to look for we have to look for ways outside of the system until, you know, I hate to say this right now, but we need a coup of some type, but a coup of the people. You know, we just have to say, hey, you know, you guys are not Americans. You're not in our best interest. We're taking this country back, and we need the military. We need everybody to be woken up. But this is just. What Ron Paul's doing is he's pacifying everybody and making them think
exactly
it's okay. We have another election. Another election.
Well, that's exactly what Obama did too, right?
Exactly. And,
exactly. Yes,
and
sir.
And the thing is, anybody who thought Obama was going to make a difference was just not awake. Was still in the sheeple mindset, because you know, like I always say, 9/11 was no surprise to me. What shocked me and disillusioned me and depressed me and just made me give up almost all hope of any recovery from this was the 2000 election. They said, we didn't count the votes, but hey, we're just saying that this guy's president. And everybody said, okay.
Yeah, oh. It's unbelievable. People don't care. They just care about their TV shows and shit. They don't care about that. And that just goes to show you, it doesn't matter who you vote for. They're going to put whoever they want in there.
Exactly.
All right? And but I do think there is some value in voting a little bit if you're going to learn about things. But if you're just going to blindly support people, then no, there's no value in it, because your vote doesn't matter anyways.
Yeah, we're talking like three elections ago now that or four. I don't know. I've been no good at math lately. That they said straight out to everybody that we're not even counting the votes anymore.
Al Gore knew he was going to lose. He was there to lose.
The last three, no matter what, were manipulated. You had the Obama one, which it didn't matter either way, because you know I think he probably had more. He definitely had more support than McCain, but either way, you know there showed there was voter manipulation. They showed that there was they had dead people and everything else signing up.
Yeah, he was groomed since birth to be the president, pretty much.
Exactly, and then we had the two Bush ones, where you know those were definitely both stolen, and then we had where Gore could have stepped up and said something, but he didn't because he was handed the global warming scheme, and that was his.
Yes.
That was, shut up.
Yep, he was in on it, and guys, think about it. He is going to run the biggest carbon trading company in America. He's going to make billions of dollars off this whole carbon tax and all this other crap they're pushing through. For people that don't know, you know, not to go into the whole global warming thing real quick, but you know what they do, guys, is let's say you for an easy number, it's 100 barrels. So you're going to pollute 100 barrels of toxic waste, or you know whatever, you know the carbon or whatever it is. Okay, you're going to produce 100 barrels of it, and that's the limit. Well, if you're a little company. All right, and you only produce 20. I can buy the other 80 off you, and I can pollute more. Isn't that absurd?
Exactly.
And this guy's gonna make money off it. So all you people, you know, I did a whole global warming show just the other day, like 2 days ago. So I'm not gonna go over the whole thing again. But it's all a scam, guys. Al Gore, Maurice Strong, people like this are in it to make billions of dollars, and it's all based over fudged paperwork. The scientists said it wasn't man-made, and this guy, Maurice Strong, paid off a scientist, Benjamin Santa. He fudged the paperwork, deleted people's summaries and everything, and made it appear that it was man-made, and now you have this whole green movement, which is all about making money and stealing land, and that pretty much sums it up. Right?
Yeah, I totally agree. So, you know, it's you know, and they did shut down the Chicago Climate Exchange.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they
did. That was
they,
his. Right? That was his.
Yes, that was his. But don't worry, they have other ones in Europe. So, you know, until the Kyoto Treaty is overturned, you know, we're going to have this to worry about.
Yep. It's crazy. It's just one scam after another. And, yeah, like you said, he was given the whole global warming thing. He got bumped out of, you know, having a chance to be president. He knew he was going to look. As a matter of fact, when they were having their little hearing, if you guys don't remember, you know, they had all these, I don't know if it was congressmen or whatever, coming forward, and Al Gore was the Speaker of the House. And the whole thing was about him getting screwed, and he's laughing about it. Do you guys remember seeing this on like C-SPAN? And they were telling him, "Oh, you need one more person to stand up or whatever." And Al Gore was like laughing about it. He was laughing, telling people this, like he was the Speaker of the House, and he's laughing about how he's getting screwed over.
All he had to do was personally stand up himself.
Yeah,
He didn't even need to like to poly anybody else. He didn't need to like say like, you know, please vote. They all stood up. They were saying, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And he was saying, "No, I'm not going to go against it." And like you said, with a smirk, like, why wouldn't you fight that tooth and nail? This is the presidency we're talking about here, you know. And that just goes to show that I think he was going to fight it. And I think what happened is during that week, he must have got caught up by one of the Bush New World Order types. Maybe Strong himself called him. You know, maybe Soros from, you know, the DNC or, you know, one of these people, because, you know, as much as they are combined, they still have their own separate cliques, even though, you know, Clinton and Bush kind of, united it. But still, they probably called him up and said, "Hey, we got something, you know, you can't turn down." You know, obviously Soros, global warming is big money for him, too. So,
yeah, of course. Never mind the hundreds of millions on the campaign. You're going to make hundreds of billions on global warming.
Exactly. Global bullshit. Global Nazism. You know, wait until everybody's car has to have a sensor on it to tell you how much CO2 you had, and you're going to have to pay a tax on it. Wait until it's in your house and you have to do the same thing.
Yeah, guys, they're going to tax you on the freaking air you exhale. I mean, that's what plants breathe, and they're going to tax you on it. I mean, it's absurd. And this guy is out there still. I still hear commercials on the radio when I listen to the sports radio in my car when I'm in the car, and I hear commercials on there. These little girls talking about global warming, and it's like, oh my god, dude! It's like people still don't, even though it's been exposed, the whole thing's been blown wide open. People still don't know because they're such idiots. Their heads are so far buried deep in the sand that, you know, even when things get exposed, they don't even hear about it. Because all they watch is friggin', you know, the Kardashians and whatever else is on TV. I don't even know what's on TV nowadays.
Yeah, no, it's sad, and that's the whole point of it. And that's what was done to this generation, you know, and to this generation, the generation before us, and especially the kids that are coming up. That obviously, you know, politics, the world, and real change and everything. Is the last thing on their mind, and they just think that everything's always going to be there, and hey, we're going through a rough spot, but you know, it's not an agenda, it's just a few greedy guys. Don't worry, it'll always be there, my internet will always be there, my kids are going to be fine, even though they're eating nothing but genetically not modified garbage and getting, you know, 42 vaccinations. But you know, it's really is, it's lemmings, it's ostriches, heads in the sand. It's, you know, it's disgusting. It really is. And yet, what will it take? What will it take before, you know, the only way that people would really wake up, I think, is if they started lining us up, machine gunning us. And even
that's
then,
why they don't do it that way.
Exactly. And that's another reason too, which I don't even think that we're totally demonized enough, you know, until like the Patriots, Truthers, whatever you want to call it, you know, there's a few different movements on, you know, Truth Seekers, Research, NWO Research, you know,
Realists.
Whatever you want to call us. Right, exactly. Until dissenters, until they line up all the dissenters, and send us to jail, then they're still going to be saying, oh, well, you know, they conspired against the U.S. government, which is not really a U.S. government. It's, you know, de facto bullshit laws and everything else that, but, you know, we know that they don't understand that. They're still saluting that flag, you know, the flag with the stripes going the wrong way and everything, you know, with the gold trim on it, you know, all that maritime admiralty, you know, but it's just insane. It's fake patriotism, and I don't know. Like I said, I don't think that even then, when they're coming to our houses and locking a few of us up, they're gonna say, "Well, he shouldn't have spoke out against the government. He shouldn't have done this. Shouldn't have done that."
Unbelievable to have that train of thought, to not think that these people have their freedoms. How could they lock them up for what they're saying? That's what people should be saying, and it's sad, you know. And that's why I try and stress to people that, you know, you got to stick up for everybody, because it's going to come to a point when they're hauling you away at the end, there's going to be nobody left to fight for you, because, you know, you never stuck up for anybody.
Exactly.
That's really how it's going to be. And, you know, people take our freedoms for granted, Justin, and it's like you said, they're not going to realize it until it's machine guns in the streets, and that's why they don't do machine guns in the streets. They don't need to. That's right. Why they do things like poison our food in our air. Exactly, because nobody's going to know about it, and if you try and tell people about it and they're not awake, they think you're crazy anyways, so they're not going to hear it unless they're totally aware. They're not going to know that their food's being poisoned, that their air's being poisoned. Was that show of yours that was playing earlier a replay, or was that live? Were you here?
No, that,
were you live?
No, that was a replay.
I thought it was, but I heard you talking about lithium, and, you know, how can they add a antipsychotic drug to the water when, if you're going to get it prescribed to you, they have to test you on an individual basis? How can you just put it in everybody's water and give everybody the same dose of one medicine? How does that work?
I think that they're just showing that you know, what they're really showing by that is that it has no, it really has no medicinal effect. It's just a dumbed down drug, and that they can give it to anybody as they want, and that's something I think that you know, if anyone was paying attention, that they would see they're showing their hand right there. And the fact that lithium is only needed in very severe cases, and even then I think that there's other things that probably can be used. And as far as, you know, it's insane. Now, my opinion is this. You know, you have all these different drugs out there, and trust me, and I've been on drugs, and I've taken everything there is. You know what? The only things out there that make you feel as good as drugs is exercise and sunlight and real natural things. And those are the things that they've stopped us from and made everybody think that they have problems. And that's the cause of it. It's a disconnect between us and nature, between us and being outside. Even though people work out nowadays, you know, they're working out inside a dark gym, or, you know, with mercury lights on them, and they get out and they're in their office all day, so they're not getting the right amount of vitamin D, and then we have chemtrails blocking the sun and everything else. And, you know, it's everything is part of this vast conspiracy, and everything, they have all the bases covered. Your phones, you know, are emitting, you know, radiation right now. You know, how many people carry it in your pocket? Not even six.
Your wireless router.
From your
junk. Awful for you.
Yeah. Think about it. How many people put their laptops on their lap? Now, again, your junk is right there. You know, how many people, your cell phone in your pocket, 6 inches away from your junk? You know, it's...
Well, you think that could give you testicular cancer or something?
I sure as hell do. Natural News released an article about laptops saying do not put them on your lap anymore. It warms your testicles too much. And they said especially men, do not put them on your lap. Use them on a table or something in between, or use some type of buffer. You know, you cannot have them on your lap. It's not... Or get one of those cooling bottoms or something, but either way.
Wow. Yeah, it's everything. It's the TV, it's the phone, it's the water, it's the air, it's the food, it's friggin' everything. It's kind of aggravating. It's kind of depressing. It really is, but...
Well, one thing I do is, I lost the link, but there's a website that has, like, you can get yourself a little squawk stick, I think it's called, squeak stick or something. And what you do is, to test it out, say you buy this thing, you bring it home, test it out, run your oven. Just turn your oven element on, or turn one of the stove elements on. Turn this thing on and approach the oven, and it will squeak wherever it encounters an electromagnetic field. So it'll show you where to stand, to stand outside the electromagnetic field of whatever electronic device or electrical device you're running.
That's pretty cool. How much does that cost?
There's only like $16 for that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I probably got so much EMFs going through me, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, all of us do. And it's normal. Like, what you can do, like radio, you know, the way we grew up and everything, there was radio all the time, TV signals going through us. But that's just, what that is modulated background radiation anyway. So that's harmless. But the problem is being close to whatever is emitting that.
Yeah.
The if you double your distance from the emitter, it cuts the radiation exposure by 4 times.
So is it not even possible for them to make these electronics without emitting these EMFs, or is it just, you know, they don't want to?
Yeah, well, you can use shielding. Trouble with shielding is you need to ground it. If you use a radiation shield, it needs to be grounded so all the energy goes to ground instead of what a shield is, basically just a mirror, and you're just reflecting it. And it can cause just as much harm wherever you're reflecting it to.
What are those steel boxes that fairway cage?
Yeah, that's like what he's saying, right? Yeah,
right.
That's like what would protect you from EMP, right? So you're stuck to it out.
Yeah, so all that energy has to go to ground, and that's how you direct it. It's what you do between its source and ground that, you know, that creates all this magical ability for us. But, I mean, all the signs were there back in the when I was young, and they were talking about all this automation taking over people's jobs. Well, how absurd is that? You mean to tell me if you replace a person with a robot on an assembly line, that person just gets cut out? What kind of parasitic system is that? That's the reason we're going backwards into the future.
That's bad, man.
So all the science in there. Yeah.
It's more manageable, you know, then they know they can kill a bunch of us.
To get us to accept it. And that's kind of a point I was trying to bring in, fit in, I should say, earlier was, I think I lost it again, too bad.
Oh my God, my...
Fitting in and damn it. Sorry. Somebody else make a point.
Well, you know, it makes you wonder because now a lot of that stuff, it works for certain things, but a lot of the stuff that they're coming out with nowadays, it's more so than just the regular EMPs that we're getting. And for example, like I've talked to I've talked to a targeted individual and she says that none of that stuff worked for her. That she has another type of technology which she's going to be talking to me once the guy's ready to release it, and I guess it's totally helped her with her targeting individual, you know, with her electronic harassment. So I mean, you know, it's so hard to tell because, you know, they're so far ahead of us, you know.
Yeah, you don't even know how far. They could be 50 years ahead of us, you know.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, in some ways, I mean, I've heard a lot of very high-end researchers say in some areas they're 300 years ahead of us.
Wow.
Wow, that's a lot, man.
It all should be under the Vatican and something under the Sphinx, I hear.
Exactly. The whole thing is this stuff, all this ancient stuff goes back to... the Phoenicians to the mystery schools of Egypt, and to what the Knights Templar got under Solomon's Temple. And all this stuff is the key to, you know, you go back and you look at this stuff, you know, the Baghdad Battery. Well, that was something that was, that was, you know, that was nothing compared to, you know, the stuff they had back then. And you know, you look at it years ago that they had a light bulb in caves, you know, inside. It's insane that.
Yeah. An even bigger reason for the invasion, original invasion of Iraq, or I guess when they finished him off, was to loot the museum,
right?
Yeah. Because, and also some recent digs, I hear.
Right. Also, too, when Egypt, when the revolution went down, they had the Egyptian Secret Service, which of course has no alliance to Egypt, just like anything else. They're just globalists. That went in and probably, you know, they're probably obviously dupes for the CIA as well. They went in while the rioting was going on, or while, you know, while the demonstration was going on, looted the Egyptian museums and tried to blame it on the protesters. And they got certain things out of there that, you know, that were probably priceless. And just like the same thing, like you said, that happened in Iraq. And they recovered a lot of it, but I'm sure they knew which things they would take and make it look like an innocent thief. And the stuff that they took that they actually, you know, can use or whatever, you know. But I do believe there's something hidden underneath the Sphinx. And I wouldn't be surprised if they've already tunneled underneath it to get it. One thing real quick before anyone else jumps in. Have any of you guys heard about the supposed Knights Templar trap that they have in Nova Scotia? Where the water keeps on filling up, you know, if you try to get down in there, supposedly there's something buried underneath this this elaborate system they have. That if you dig down, you know, there's already been a bunch of people died trying to recover it.
No, and, man, can you send me something on it? I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, I will look into it. Try to find you a link. What it is they have something that if as soon as you get like say 100 or 200 feet down. It just fills up with water, and then you're screwed in. It's a whole system they figured out. I'm sure they've probably tunneled in from the side from now and gotten it, and figured out a way. But supposedly, even tunneling in, you know, whatever technology they had to build this, and this is, we're talking about 1600 something like that. So if they had this technology, or maybe 1400s, if they had this technology then. You know, just imagine, you know, what they have now, you know, to build something like that to where it still fills up with water and it's still, you know, you can only dig so far.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's in Nova Scotia?
Yeah, I believe so. It was, I believe it was put there by, I believe it was, I don't want to misquote anything, but by the Vikings, that were Templars possibly, or when, I'm not sure. Let me look it up before I give any disinformation on that. But it's definitely a Knights Templar, trap.
That's some crazy stuff, man. You ever heard about that truth war?
It was a water well, right?
Sounds like it, yeah.
And they found what?
No, it's some type of they can't find anything supposedly. Okay, the lost treasure of the Knights Templar. Okay, hold on, I found a link. Let me see if this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure I heard that story.
Okay, a small island off the fog-shrouded coast of Nova Scotia may conceal the world's greatest treasure, that of the Order of the Knights Templar, missing since the 14th century. The treasure of the Templars is reputed to contain massive amounts of gold and silver bullion. The crown jewels of royal European families, religious artifacts sacred to both Judaism and Christianity, and documents that may be as explosive now as when they were buried. The current owner of what has been dubbed the Money Pit estimates the value of the potential treasure to be over $1 billion. The history of the Oak Island excavation, talking about when they tried to finally dig it up, in 1795, when three young men with time on their hands decided to search for Captain Kidd's booty, on Tiny Oak Island, they found a ship's tackle hanging from a tree branch in a nearby depression in the soil. After digging 2 feet down, they reached a level of carefully laid flagstones not normally found on the island. They dug further and at 10 feet reached an oaken platform. Successive platforms were found at 20 and 30 feet, encouraging the diggers but surpassing their abilities. Several years later, a company, the Onslow Syndicate, was formed by several prominent citizens to explore further. The oak platforms continued until at the 90-foot level, an inscribed stone with a symbol code revealed that treasure would be found only 40 feet below. The code may have been a false clue leading them into a booby trap. The shaft was soon filled with seawater that would not only stop further excavation, it would remain an unbeatable obstacle for the next two centuries. A series of flood tunnels had been dug from coves on both sides of the island. The seawater entered from clog-proof drains concealed with coconut husk and eelgrass. For nearly 200 years, work has continued in on and off fashion, as one treasure hunter after another would invest one fortune after another in pumps and drills and coffer dams to stop the seawater and even heavy construction machinery. To date, the money pit has only yielded only a handful of items in exchange for millions of dollars and five lives, it has claimed. Gold chain and iron scissors, a piece of undecipherable parchment, are among the paltry rewards to date. There has been a wealth of theories. It keeps going. There's a lot more, but, you know, just that's pretty much the idea of it. Supposedly, this is this has something to do with what they got within the Crusades, which, you know, could be what they found under Solomon's Temple, under King Philip of when King Philip of France ordered them dead.
I did see a documentary on that.
Yeah, I'll throw you guys the link in the Skype chat.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy stuff, man. I'd like to see that. Wow.
Yeah, definitely something to look into.
You know, yeah, the Ark has a similar legacy to it, eh?
Yep. I believe the Ark may have supposedly been found in Ethiopia, they believe, but...
Oh, is that where it's supposed to be now? I thought it was to be somewhere in New England there.
Huh, I'll have to look it up. The Ark of the Covenant we're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? You may be right about that. I was thinking they found Noah's Ark supposedly in Ethiopia, I believe. But I'll have to look into that and
see. What mountain was that? That it was supposed to be?
I forget
The name Shasta gets in the way. It's not Mount Shasta, though, I don't think. I don't even know what Mount Shasta is.
Mount Shasta is, I believe it's somewhere, I don't know, is that New Hint? No, I don't know. It's some...
No, Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark, where Noah's Ark was. It was supposed to be in Mount Shasta.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy stuff. All right, guys, we got 7 minutes left, and we're going to wrap it up at midnight at the top of the hour. Anything else you guys wanted to get off your chest before we get off?
Well, I just wanted to say, hey, by the way, guys, if anybody out there wants to find a good page with news, I'm now an admin at Eyes Wide Open News. And so if anyone has any good stuff you want to put on there, there's a lot of over 10,000 people are subscribed to it, so it's a hell of a page, and I've been on there posting some of the good stuff and whatnot. So
that's so cool, man. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, definitely. Eyes Wide Open News. It's on Facebook. Probably one of the best Facebook pages there is as far as alternative news goes.
Yeah, who runs that?
What's that?
Who runs that website?
I don't know exactly who runs it. I was asked by another admin if I wanted to help out with it, and I said sure, because I do like a lot of the stuff they put up. So, you know, and you get both sides of it, you know, like, because there's 11 different admins. So I mean,
it's eyeswideopennews.com.
I believe there is a website too. Yes.
Oh, it's only a Facebook thing. Phenom.
I'm
Phenom,
I'm
not or sure. Or Meme.
Tell you the truth, I gotta see if there's a.
Yeah. You may want to find that out.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't see it. I don't see there being one, but. Huh.
Well, that's an interesting group, nonetheless. Everybody check it out, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll add it to my Facebook tonight. What was I going to say? Guys, that Ron Paul thing that I read over the air, if any of you guys want to read that, that's on my site, therealnewsonline.com. Also, you can find the archive of this show, every show that I do on this network, every show that I do on the Last American Radio Broadcast at thelastamerican.org. All my shows are archived on therealnewsonline.com. So if you missed some of this show and you want to hear a replay of it, go to therealnewsonline.com and it'll be up there. You obviously got to give me a couple hours, but it'll be up there by tomorrow morning for sure.
It's funny you mentioned Ron Paul because go ahead, Justin.
No, I just said sounds good. Go ahead, Drew.
Yeah, because you know we were talking that thing you mentioned, Justin, about Ron Paul's answer to 9/11 Truth. That was during a debate, which was a distraction, obviously, by the debate organizers. One of the presidential, you know, nominee debates, whatever you call them down there, and. It had nothing to do with the debate that was going on. It was just, oh, by the way, Ron Paul, here's your chance to air some dirty laundry of truth. You know, you can't go saying that, yeah, 9/11 is an inside job, we're going to investigate it and try to run for president. You know what I mean? So,
I do agree with you. However, I think that at some point or another, you know, I don't expect it to come out at a debate, but I do think that he would have said, you know, something a little bit better as opposed to.
You know what he said? You know what else he said?
Yeah, he could say, I agree, it needs to be looked at more, or at least something like that, you know?
He did say that.
Well, but he also said that he wishes that the people that were supporting him would leave conspiracy theories like that alone. Something to that effect.
Right. It's not, because anything like that is immediate. Disposal. It's political suicide.
Yeah, well, so, that's the problem here. We're dealing with politics. So
you ask me, that whole thing was probably scripted, because yeah. I mean, he answered it almost perfectly, in order to be able to survive. I mean, the whole campaign was put on the block right there. So I don't even believe that was not scripted, at this point, actually.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I think that everything is scripted as far as it goes, and I even think that, you know, when you see like Herman Cain and Perry and Gingrich and these guys struggling with these questions, it's on purpose. You mean to tell me that they're going to go to a presidential, debate? Yeah, and not know exactly what they want to do for a tax plan, or not know, you know, that they're looking at to Ron Paul for answers, or you know, he helped Rick Perry answer a question. I just don't believe that. I can't believe that at all.
I can't believe much of anything I see on it. I mean, really,
no. It's just like a big. It's like pro wrestling, and that's all it is. That's what I just ever always just compare it to.
Well, other than being on the spot, put on the spot to answer a question like that, I would like to see some other anti-truth rhetoric from Ron Paul, because that's the only one that I've seen myself. And you ask me, that doesn't disqualify him from being a truther. Mm-hmm. Just a plain truther, not a 9/11 truther, but, you know, at least someone that you can rely on to do as the rest of his history declares, that he is for the truth.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. His words on Zionism and globalism were enough to throw me off. I'll have to find the globalism quote, but the Zionism quote right there, to say that what it's done for the Jewish people, that's just sick.
All the stuff he said about black people sounds so ignorant to me. That turned me right off.
I need to hear both of those. And you know, if there is anything in support of Zionism, other than what I can see as a distraction, as in a sheeple thing, just him being ignorant, then that would support his Mason ties.
This is in his book where he talks about Zionism helping the Jewish people rediscover. You know, it's been a great thing. He says it's helped them to rediscover their language and everything else. You know,
that sounds like distraction. That he just doesn't know the rest of Zionism.
How does he not know the rest about Zionism being?
Because he's a Mason, and Masons keep secrets from each other as well. If you're a 33rd, you don't tell a 32nd degree anything.
But truth were, these people know what's going on in the world. They know what Zion, especially a guy like him that lives and dies politics. I can't believe that he doesn't know what's going on. That's, you know, I can't believe that at all. I can't believe that
well, he knows the ugliness of what's going on, but he doesn't necessarily, or at least when he wrote his book. I mean, we're not talking about him today, by the way. We're talking about when he wrote this book. That he just wasn't aware that it was, that Zionism was also a participant in that, and I'm sure he knows that today. So,
he's been a member of the JBS. They've been talking about in his, you know, his one of his mentors was Eustace Mullins. I cannot buy that. I cannot buy that ignorance on his part. That's not his views today. And Liberty Defined was a few years ago when he wrote that. It's not like it's an old book.
Well, you know, you gave me a really good reason to actually read Ron Paul's book. You got a link here? What's the title?
Well, Liberty Defined is the one I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, I should read that. That should be a good snapshot in history. It's got to be 99% truth, right?
Well, we'll see. My opinion, like I said earlier, I think he is the whole key to them ending the Federal Reserve, which is going to happen anyway. But it's going to make it look like it was all him doing, but really it's up anyway. And then going to the global currency, and that's my whole thing. I think that's going to happen. And I don't know. I may be wrong, but that's, you know, I've looked into this pretty good from both sides, I think. You know, and as an ex-Ron Paul supporter, you know, someone that in 2008, I was Ron Paul gung-ho, you know, and now just to sit back and, you know, and to see if, you know, to look into it from both sides, you know, this is something that I just can't believe, you know, somebody that, I don't know. I just, the system has failed me, and I just don't even, you know, to me, the little bit of truths that he lets out, and the fact that he supports other politicians, that, you know, like, for example, he was campaigning for a guy, Lamar Smith, who was a two-time, voted for both bailouts and voted for both wars just because.
Well, you know what?
Another Republican. I mean,
everybody is working. Everybody's treading water. Okay, if you're a politician, that's a horrible. Who would want to be a politician today? You've got all kinds of money on both sides of every issue, all exerting their force ferociously, and everybody has survived to a level of their own ability, right? And the fact that we're debating over one person, Mr. Paul, is testament to the fact that, you know, we, you know, this is the wrong discussion. That we need to address the cause of the issue, not try to find a remedy.
Right? If you've ever been robbed by a black teenage male, you know how unbelievably fleet-footed they can be.
That was in one of his publications. Whether he wrote it or not, it went out in his name. I
there's a whole bunch of stuff
like
about black people here. You can safely assume that 95% of the black males in D.C. are semi-criminal or entirely criminal. That's right. Pretty racist, dude.
Yeah. In regards, it was in the 90s or not, but still, I don't buy that. you know, regardless, the people that he's kept around him for so long are still around. The fact that he was in the Reagan administration, you know, the fact that he was so close to Reagan, you know, he's got these pictures up of Reagan like he was some type of hero too. And I don't know. I can't believe the hype. To me, it's the biggest psyop ever being perpetrated. And I can't believe that more people are not seeing through it. I just think that there is no political answer right now as far as that goes until we get these scumbags that are controlling everything out. That's it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, like I say, I couldn't believe it in 2000. And again, with Obama, anybody, and there's a lot of people who are now awake who supported Obama. And that's a big reason for hope. Now, you know, that's the thing is support or not support is not really the issue. Really, the issue is what's next. I mean, the fact that there seems to be a chance for another election. You know, does that mean anything more than the previous dozens?
No, to me it doesn't. I can't say that. You know, just like we said about Al Gore, you know, in 2000, it just went to show that there's no such, you know, thing as, and for anyone to even to not call out, you know, hey, if I was Ron Paul right now, I would be calling out the fraudulent election system. I would be saying, well, hey, you know, I am running, but I want to call out the Diebold machines, and that's something we haven't heard a word on yet. And so, I mean, these are things that should be said during his campaign. And I'm not saying during a debate, but during at the time, you know, he should be saying, well, hey, Americans, you should know that your vote might not count. You know, we should go back to these, you know, the real way. And these are things that haven't been said. You know, and I don't think he's even decried any of the last elections as being frauds. So, I mean, he's still pretending that the system works. So, I mean, I don't, I do got to sign off, guys, but, you know, great talking.
I got to go, too. So, we'll wrap the whole thing up here, guys, because I got to go, too. So, you know, thanks again, guys, for coming on and helping chip in. I'll be back tomorrow night, guys, same time, 10 p.m. Justin, why don't you plug your show real quick, and we'll get out of here.
Hopefully I'll be there tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I'm really gonna try to make it tomorrow. Tonight I was a few minutes late because my computer my computer didn't go over and I was doing something, but tomorrow I'll really try to be there at 9 o'clock for you seceders with Wanda as well. So tune in and I don't know, stay listening to Informed and keep it real.
All right, guys, that's all.